Welcome to the 128th Monk in My Back podcast. Visit the blog at monkcomics.com and email us at monkcast@gmail.com. In the pod, we talk about this week's books, shoot some comic book breeze, and in the spotlight, James reviews Star Trek Countdown. Momcast, the comic book podcast that will never get old because it can't afford to. Around the mic tonight,
at the end of the day, speaking for myself, I'm Nick.
Blue sky thinking, out of the box, brah, 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 Jane.
Hi, people probably see me in the office as the Alpha Viking. My name's James, and I'm a strong, confident communicator.
You're so much better at the bullshit than
he really is good at the bullshit than I am. I feel like what I'm saying should mean something. That's going to come as a surprise to a lot of people. Did you just say bra, 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 bra?
Yeah, that's because when I'm watching it, I listen to those people talking about what they are. I tune out after 2 words.
Bra, 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 bra,
I'll tell you what those people are. We're talking about The Apprentice, listener, on BBC. I'll tell you what those people are. They're the scum of the fucking earth.
Yeah. They are.
Yes, they are.
Do you remember the old Peanuts cartoons where all the other teachers and adults? They sound to me.
Oh no, no, they're actually saying words. It's just they're saying really annoying words in really annoying orders.
As the characters don't want to pay attention to the adults, they don't anything they're saying to mean anything. That's what it's like.
I found out today that because we were trying to think about less bad words to use, less offensive words, and one of my colleagues, Alex, actually said, "I like the word Burke. People don't say Burke enough." And then one of my other colleagues had a look, and apparently it's rhyming slang for something really bad. Yeah,
Or James Blunt.
So that was a bit of a surprise. So trapdoor takes on a whole new meaning.
But yes,
Burke.
Yes,
feed me. That's what I meant,
James.
I like
Burke too.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, so what you got, aside from watching Apprentice, what have we all been up to this week?
He's looking at me, I can't remember. I've been watching my fish die one by one.
Are they all dead now?
Yeah, we're left with one fish now. I'm calling it Psycho Killer Keska Se.
Is it Keska for short?
Yeah,
Keska.
Keska. And I think the fucker's got a knife. But I'm not going in the fish tank after it to find out.
Do you not
out.
Wish you just got goldfish now?
My wife was sent out to get goldfish and she came home with 5 psychotic guppy.
We used to have a guy at the when I worked at Forbidden Planet, there was a guy who worked there, and whenever he got sent out to buy something, just some stationery or something, he'd always come back with the most extravagant version, or a clock.
Yeah.
He came back with one of those radio
grandfather.
Yeah, talk. And I've since started calling them magic beans. You bought the magic beans. Really, not what you wanted.
Yeah, no, the fish weren't magic
with,
beans.
Lots of things at the end with magic beans, don't you?
Yeah, as opposed to a bowl full of dead fish. That wasn't what you were expecting.
No, I've been removing.
We never know
by one.
That one fish might turn out to be quite lucrative.
Well, it looks very
fish
healthy.
Fighting.
Yeah, well, I still think that's probably illegal. I think it's essentially making animals fight.
You cared if something's
illegal. Well, yeah,
it's okay to have. It's okay to kill fish because they don't have any feelings.
But it's not okay to have sex with a live fish,
unless you come from somewhere with a PO postcode.
I always come from the end of my penis.
Do you? Good for you.
Was that too far? It just seemed like a really obvious joke,
really funny,
and then
that just topped it.
You're not doing it properly because I come from the base of my feet.
You come from a postcode outside Southampton.
Which is really, really unfortunate when I've got somewhere to walk.
Hello monkeys, it's George Beedham again, outside again, because apparently this is the only time I have to myself these days. Don't forget to pre-order my book at indiegogo.com/themightyjambo. But that's not what I'm here to talk about today. Today I'd like to talk about something written by Peter David, who is one of my favourite comic writers. But it's not a comic. It is, in fact, a computer game. It's called Spider-Man Edge of Time. It's by a company called Beanox, who have done a previous Spider-Man game called Shattered Dimensions, which was really good. And this one is too. They've also been signed up by Marvel to do the spin-off computer game for the new Amazing Spider-Man film. So, quite excited about that, given the good job they've done with the previous two. Anyway, jumping ahead a little bit there. To talk about the game itself, it centres around one of Peter David's best creations, Spider-Man 2099, who discovers that his boss has created some sort of time tunnel that leads back to the 20th century, so he can found the company that he works for and become in charge of everything, I think. And this somehow leads to Spider-Man, the original Spider-Man, Peter Parker, being killed at the hands of Anti-Venom. Miguel O'Hara, Spidey 2099, witnesses this through the time tunnel-y jobby, and then gets in contact with Pete in the past to try and stop him getting killed. It's a really good game, actually. I was a bit annoyed at first that they didn't keep the control mechanism from the previous game, but I soon got used to the new stuff. The only thing that lets it down is it's not... it's quite linear, despite the whole time travel thing. They could have made much more of the quantum causality device that they've invented in this game. Basically, if... say Spidey 2099 is being attacked by robots, then as Spider-Man you can head to the robotics lab, destroy the prototypes, and then the robots won't be there to be a problem in the future. Which would be kind of nice if you had a choice of when to switch over, but it's very sort of linear, like I've said, and quite enclosed. But it doesn't stop it being an amazing game. I had a great time playing it, but then I'm a bit of a Spidey nerd, so... for example, one of the first things I did was do a bunch of challenges so I could unlock the FF costume. So I could run around like present-day Spidey instead of the classic version. But yeah, it's great fun. Well worth shelling out a few quid on if you've got it to spare. But a better thing to shell out on would be my book, which you can pre-order at indiegogo.com/themightyjambo. Have I plugged that enough yet? It feels like I've plugged it enough. Yeah, so I'm going to clear off now. See you later. Bye.
Should we start again?
Two.
Welcome to
I'm a confident Viking. Oh, I don't know.
In my dreams, that I'm a Viking.
That went well. The only reason I thought of that is because I can see that really lovely Viking collected edition up on your bookshelf, case, shelf.
I don't know if you two have noticed.
Enjoy. No.
But I'm up to the M's.
Oh, you are up to the M's. Well,
like a week or so ago, I was only on the G's or something. These boxes that we have around us, these ones, they're all sorted comics.
Yay.
Well done.
And what changed is my wife realised this is a sun trap. I might have mentioned this last week.
She's been
I convinced
up
that
here,
it's
yeah.
a sun trap. She comes up here and we all sit up here like a family. Yeah. Like a family if one of the family is like obsessively compulsively sorting their comics. Yeah.
Wait until you get the S's, though. That's going to be
S's is, that's pretty much that pile of five boxes there, so that's going to be interesting. I don't know how that's going to go, really.
It says Superman, obviously, but...
Spider-Man.
Actually, X must be in there, because that's an Uncanny X-Men. That's one of the first... Oh, no, it isn't. It's Stormwatch. It's a Jill Kane cover Stormwatch.
Swamp Thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of S's.
There are a lot of S's.
It's a very common...
Sinister Six.
A surprising amount of H's. Hulk, Hellblazer and Hitman are like the longest runs of comics I've got, so...
All right, okay.
It's quite incredible.
Is that what you've done with your week?
No, I wasn't getting on to my week because you hadn't done yours yet. But
I reckon I'm done.
I watched John Carter. That was good.
Really?
Hmm. It's interesting. Someone's playing music outside.
I remember something very important I did my week. I need to tell you about. But you tell us about John Carter first.
It's quite skill actually. Skill. It's the first 3D film I saw that. It's the first 3D film I've seen where I was actually quite impressed by the fact that they weren't No, that's not true, because the Saw movie was great 3D in one
did
way.
Did you see it in three dimensions?
The Saw 3D?
No, John Carter.
Yes, we did. But it's like the first of those films, because Avatar kept trying to knock you out with how subtle the 3D was. But this one was actually quite good. There were lots of very ornate stuff going on.
Avatar was trying to knock you out by how long the film is.
There's that as well. I think
Avatar's the best film I've seen in the last 10 years.
Really, though?
Is it the only film you've seen? Have you not watched many films?
It's the only film I've seen, yeah.
I really liked it. It starts out slow, and I think for a lot of people who were already kind of, oh, it's the biggest flop, they'd already read everything about it being the biggest flop and everything, they'd turn up, and then the first 10 minutes are quite, they're setting the scene, but quite slowly, the pacing's quite slow, and that will set you off and make you not very patient with the rest of the film. But I think once the aliens are introduced, it's just lovely. It's a lovely film.
Two things about John Carter. John Carter, I don't understand why it wasn't called John Carter, a princess, or
either John Carter of Mars.
Yeah, or John Carter and a princess of Mars.
Yeah, I don't know.
I
think maybe
John Carter semicolon a princess of Mars, because you might think it's about a cross-dressing hero. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it might set people's expectations incorrectly.
Maybe they were trying to tap into the market of people who were looking for a sequel to that Michael Caine film, which was remade with Sylvester Stallone in the role,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they didn't throw in the remake. Alf from Coronation Street didn't get thrown off a multi-story car park.
Was Alf in?
Which was that? That was the best bit of Get Carter.
It's just a pop culture reference. I don't really know. The only thing about John Carter that is a little bit lackluster is the main guy isn't particularly charismatic, but he looks a bit like Josh Holloway from Lost. So he's kind of good looking enough to carry it off, really.
That's a pop culture reference.
Yeah, that we don't.
Sawyer. He's the guy. He's rugged. He's nice. He's good looking. Good looking man.
It's a shame that people, if they've got those expectations, there wasn't a really good review of John Carter they could have read beforehand to help give them the corrects. Where do you think someone could read a really good review
maybe
of John Carter, Jane?
On a website on that internet.
And what would that website be
that
called,
could
for God's
be
sake?
moncomics.com.
And would they have to put W's in front of that too? Or is it optional?
It's optional.
It's optional now.
Okay, yeah. Just search Mom Comics.
Yeah.
Or Mom. Or Ma.
Yeah, just put M in your computer machine.
No, that'll do it.
With that big computer Nick, machine. Just doing M and it knows.
I saw a movie this week.
What did you see?
I saw The Muppets.
Oh, I wish I'd seen that.
I cried.
Did you go to the cinema to see it?
I saw The Muppets. I cried pretty much from minute one to minute 90. I cried at the sad bits. I cried at the happy bits. I cried at the bits in between the sad and the happy bits. I wept pretty solidly the whole way through it because I found it such an overwhelmingly joyous experience.
I'm starting to think that James might need to be medicated in some way.
No, he's fine.
Was it? Okay.
I genuinely was in tears the whole way through it. I just couldn't. I was so emotional.
You're welling up a bit now.
How much I enjoyed it. I'm not going to cry. I'm going to keep it together.
I think I'm crying.
It's just the most joyous and wonderful film I think I've seen for as long as I. Definitely the best film I've seen in the last 10 years.
Well, John Carpenter was pretty much the best film I've seen in the last
John
10 years.
Carpenter.
John Carpenter.
Yeah.
John Carter.
Where did you see that at a cinema?
John Carter was. No, I. The other thing about John Carter is there's like a dog alien in it. And the second it turned up. A Dalian. And the second it turned up, and it's called Woola or something like that. And it's exactly like our dog Willow in temperament. So when you see it, you'll think, oh, that is exactly like their dog in temperament.
I'll wait until I see it in the cinema or I saw The Muppets.
Yeah, but The Muppets is...
Oh, so good.
There was a trailer...
I'm going to buy it 5 times on Blu-ray, just because I know I'm going to wear the discs out.
There was a trailer on for the Avengers Assemble, but it was in 3D, and I didn't... I was like, oh, this looks good. And then the Hulk turned up, and I got a little bit excited. I love the Hulk.
Do a little bit of wee.
I love the Hulk so much.
Who doesn't?
I really do. I think it's kind of why I like James so much.
Thank you.
Because in temperament, he's very similar. So what did you do aside from the Muppets, James?
I've done my week.
Was that it?
This is now my third go at telling you what I've done with my week.
The Muppets.
I've told you about fish. I've told you about weeping. I want Joan to tell us what she did her week.
Let's skip to Nick.
What did you do? Skip
to Nick. Done his.
Oh. What? Is that
we're
what
also
did?
Present yeah. for each other.
I know.
I did a bit of gardening and did some
because
comics
I thought you
and then
were
John
doing
Carter.
Yours, because you were talking about Muppets and then you were talking about John Carter, so I didn't think Nick had finished his.
Well done if you've made it this far.
I have done really boring, mundane things this week, including.
Are you going to tell us?
Making my laptop recognise faces. So.
Oh, my computer broke. That's another thing. Yeah. Oh, so you've made your laptop. So your laptop can recognise faces, but my PC can't do anything. It's basically a brick.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, that's good. How do you mean recognising faces?
By. Telling it
to recognise it.
Giving it a name of a couple of faces, and then it just goes, oh, okay, so this person's this person, and then it recognises it for all the
You've
photos.
Got one of those posh Apple
I have got one of those
computers,
posh Apple computers.
We've got,
it's
there's
really
some,
good.
There's
You're
something.
A hipster victim, aren't you?
No, only if I take it to Starbucks.
There's something about
Which
faces.
Which you're going to do.
Yeah, I know, that's why I cringed at myself.
There's something about faces. Do we want to talk about that later?
Is that the Farrelly Brothers
No, the
follow-up?
The comic-y thing about faces, about people's faces in a comic.
Oh, we'll do that in the middle
we'll
bit.
We'll do that in the middle bit, okay. Should we talk about comics?
Stay tuned for a bit about people's faces coming up later on the Momcast.
Faces.
Did you a really good edit point then?
No, it was brilliant.
Yeah. Hey, Momcast, it's me. I'm sorry it took me so long to come back. I'm really not too good at knowing what day of the week it is. How bad am I at the moment? I'm recording this on Friday, some hours after learning that it wasn't Thursday. I am terrible. Blame work and throat-based illness. It's the only thing worth doing. But enough apologies and whinging. I've got to get on and tell you about something comic-related. And seeing as I'm a poor man saving to live in another country, I'm going to go on about one of those wondrously cost-free things that we call webcomics, namely Title Unrelated by Gloria Pike. Title Unrelated follows three adoptive sisters, Twapper, Erin, and Mara Von Snitter, who I'm going to call Snits from now on to save my mouth, as they grow up together in the prologue and through their daily lives as adolescents within the actual main story, playing in their band with their keyboardist, Kieran. It's all very quirky and interesting, with a focus on them finding an amnesiac pretty boy called Zay and trying to help him out. It's one of those strange plots that seems straightforward, but through quirkiness alone plays out like an indie creation should, never quite being focused on the main driving force of the story. This story isn't my favourite thing about the series, though, even when it truly shines with moments like Snitz's loud affirmation that Twapper and Erin are her true sisters, never seeing it as anything other, and that touched my heart there, despite their vastly different appearance, which is the thing I like about the webcomics so much. Segway! Ow! The character designs on display here are some of the outright best in Slice of Life comics, as far as I'm concerned, most of that claim resting on the oft forgotten importance of body types. See, in a lot of comics nowadays, all people will have the same generic bodies. I don't even mean like how all women have never-ending breasts in superhero comics or whatever. Though, never-ending breasts? Good band name. No, I mean how any singular artist may have the tendency to draw all women looking one way and all men another. A limited body type just doesn't work for a lens of reality and really pulls you out of anything remotely slice of life. But what Pike does here is extraordinarily diverse, especially for such a small group of characters, and it's accomplished mostly through that opening concept of the trio of sisters being adopted. Oh, Snitz actually isn't. To clarify, her grandparents adopted Twapper and Erin, so she's not as much adopted as looked after by her grandparents. Snitz is European, so she has a fuller figure and a rounder face, something that makes perfect sense to me. Erin is very much the all-American tomboy type, all reddish-brown hair, freckles and baggy clothing, with a more pronounced pointed face. And Twapper is Asian, so she looks out and out like a manga character, which is kind of weird to say, considering the whole comic is very manga-inspired in design, just more in the same way that Becky Cloonan or Amy Reader are, where it informs the style developed but doesn't reduce it to that fucking awful type of design you see in so many OEL creations. Even the dudes have it, with Kieran looking closer to a McKelvey character than most, possibly because of his reason for being with the girls being music, but perhaps I'm reading too much into it, and Zay being the typical waif pretty boy that you often see in manga, more so the yaoi type, that despicably Damien genre that should have perfectly good things behind it but sadly doesn't. I digress. None of the characters look the same, and it pleases me greatly just to look at the designs, particularly Snitz, whose unusual dress sense and ever-changing hair colours make her a joy to behold. I love this webcomic and encourage you to check it out at titleunrelated.smackjeeves.com, and hopefully I'll surface here again soon to do some begging in a cool way. naturally. And now I want to rip out my throat.
Should we talk about comics? James, what have you got?
Are you going to talk about this one?
We can do it last and talk about it together.
We can talk about it together.
We could have worked that out before, couldn't we?
We could have, yeah. Well, why bother? when there's other topics to cover.
That's a good point.
Sometimes we don't get to see each other between Thursdays, so there's a lot of catching up for us three. I see Jane every day, which is lovely for her. First up is an image book priced at $3.50. It's issue 4 of Nick Spencer and Christian Ward's The Infinite Vacation.
Ooh.
I've spoken about it before. It's about a guy called Mark who lives in a reality where it is possible to travel between alternate universes. So there's an infinite possibility of different worlds that you can go and visit, somewhere you will have been, somewhere you wouldn't exist. He's been tracked down by a mental Mark who wants to wipe out all of the other Marks in reality.
That sounds like the one.
It is.
But with a holiday element, with a Thomas Cook's element in it.
It is, that's quite right. There is a lot of Thomas Cook. It's sold as a holiday, The Infinite Vacation. Mm. That's why it's called An Infinite Vacation. Mm. There is a love interest of his that he keeps meeting in various different realities. And she is called...
Purple hair.
It doesn't really matter what she's called because she's got purple hair and I can't remember her name. It's something like Claire.
It's an unusual setup because presumably everyone knows that this happens.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's not like in other things where... You have to explain, I'm you from another dimension. In another dimension, we're lovers.
That's right, exactly.
Which is my favourite pulling
and
technique.
And in the dimension he visits in this particular... I wasn't really listening to you because I was really concentrating on what I was going to say next. And I feel quite guilty now.
No, it's okay.
You listen. Listen back.
Was it funny?
It was quite funny.
I listened back to this bit. I'm going to feel like a douchebag for not laughing, aren't
I? Just laugh now. Right, now tell us.
You'd edit that in. In this one, he meets her in the universe where... they would have married, and we find out that Mark really is clearly more significant for reasons that are yet to be explained. It's a crazy story.
You're a crazy story.
It's told very well. I mean, but I think what really makes it stand out is Christian Ward's art.
Yes.
What makes it stand out. He really genuinely is one of my very favourite artists working in comics at the moment.
It's very pretty and lots of changes.
It is. It's a very, I think, frenetic pencil style.
Hmm.
Very, very angular details in the pencil work. But it's his colour palette that really makes it pop. Every single page of this pops out of the page at you.
Every single panel pops out of the page.
Pop. Yeah. This works so much. But is that me or you?
It's me.
All right. Jane vibrated, sorry. It's brilliant. It's an excellent book. The only thing that kind of took the shine off is there was a really long wait between 3 and 4.
Mm.
So I kind of felt myself having to do... I'm not very clever as it is. I haven't got a very good memory. I found myself having to do quite a lot of mental tracking back to try and remember what happened previously. But it's a beautiful book. Halfway through now, I think it probably runs for 6 or so issues. I'm not sure, could be wrong. But when it collects, I think it will be a must-buy because it's just so gorgeous. It comes a point with Christian Ward's art where I don't really give a monkey's about the story anyway. It's just a bonus because I could just look at his art all day long. I love it so much.
That's good.
Next up, listener, is a book called Justice League. It's by DC Comics and it's $3.99. And there's a slight change this week, this month, on the creator lineup. Geoff Johns is still writing, but Jim Lee's no longer the artist. It's Gene Ha.
He's good. Gene Ha is good.
He is. I must say, I'm not sure if it's controversial or not, I prefer his art.
No, that's not really controversial. It's a personal preference. Well, so, I think you're right.
Okay, good. It's the start of a new story, and it's a pretty standard Justice League tale of a rogue scientist goes mad and they have to stop him. I have some issues with this issue.
Yes.
Wonder Woman, not all of the characters are particularly well served. I do not like the way Wonder Woman is written in this at all. The only reason Wonder Woman seems to become motivated to tackle this villain is because apparently he used to knock his ex-wife about, and she says in response to that, then I'm ready to hit him.
But is that the only, is that her only motivation in the thing?
Yeah, she's only really motivated by
that's a bit
abusive male partners. It's just weird, and she's also the love interest for their male handler, for their civilian.
Oh yeah,
Justice League civilian.
Because he's Trevor, what's his name, isn't it? Does it even tie in with the Wonder Woman comic that as is? Because it's back up to date now, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think
apparently
I think she meets him in the Wonder Woman comic.
Mm.
I just don't. The only two voices in this that feel like they're not a different character is probably Flash and the Green Lantern.
Hmm.
Everyone else just feels, even Batman, feels like there's an amusing aside where Batman's a voice off while she's talking to Trevor, and it just doesn't feel like an authentic voice. I think this is a decent all ages book, but at the moment severely lacks the wit and sophistication in many other books I'm reading. It's the sort of book that I'd happily give to a preteen, but I think maybe you get much older than that, you're kind of outgrowing
with
it.
With the wife beating and stuff.
It's not explicit about it, you know, and but some of the dialogue's kind of cornball in it.
Yeah.
And some of the plot work is a bit cornball as well, and it's I think it's fair to say I'm not finding it a massively satisfying read at the moment. It is
$3.99. You'd hope it'd be better.
It's backed up by Shazam.
All right, yeah.
Or sorry, if you're Max Bonner, Shazam, which is it's a very brief origin, but Shazam's going to be in it as a backup every month from now on. Whether or not I'll be reading it once that story gets going, I don't know. I think when I say it doesn't have the wit and sophistication of certain other books, the first book that pops to my mind is Dan Slott's Amazing Spider-Man.
I just realised something. Right. Is this always $3.99?
Yeah.
Oh, bollocks.
It has been for a while.
Okay.
I think it's worth every penny. The Amazing Spider-Man 682, Ends of the Earth. At $3.99 is probably worth $3.99.
It is really, really good. Yes, we both got this. you can talk about it.
Can I? Oh, good. It's been much
anticipated.
It's basically, it's going to be a showdown between him and Dr. Octopus.
Doc Ock.
Who's not very well at the moment. And this is the scene setter for Doc Ock's seemingly benign plan to help the planet.
Yes.
Mm.
It is peculiar.
But it's set against the backdrop of J. Jonah Jameson is trying to shut down Horizon Labs as well, which is a subplot that's going on, causing Peter Parker to have somewhat of an existential crisis about that.
Yes.
Because obviously it's the job that's allowed him to find himself.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Allow myself to find myself.
Yeah, allowed him to find itself. But it's written beautifully, isn't it? There's
it's really nicely written.
Wit and lightness to the storytelling that makes every single page such a joy. I love this book so much at the moment.
And as much as I find it a little bit distracting that the creative team, the art side of things, is handled in a really... It seems to be flipping backwards and forwards between Humberto Ramos and Stefano Caselli.
Yeah.
Caselli. Is that Stefano Caselli?
Who pencils this
issue. Mm. So it always looks good, but it is a little bit fractured in that sense. I sometimes find it a little bit fractured.
For me personally, I don't think their styles are so dissimilar that it throws me too much.
I find them really dissimilar.
Really?
But never mind, I understand.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I'm an idiot.
Well, no, because his is really clean and the people all look... Mm. Yeah, I suppose their faces are kind of similar.
Peter Parker always looks very similar.
The only bit in it that confused me, well, it didn't confuse me a little bit, but seemed a little bit odd, was it looks, when the big threat is introduced, the big plan finally gets implemented, it almost seems it's the only tiny bit of the writing that threw me a little bit was it sounded like he was about to describe what he was about to do and he was actually doing it.
Yeah.
And so you were seeing it happening and it was kind of, and it took me a couple of panels, but only a couple of panels to work out, oh shit, he's actually doing it.
Yeah.
And it's only the first stage in what he's doing, which is interesting. One thing that someone pointed out, I don't know if it was on Bleeding Cool or somewhere, that was interesting though, is they pointed out that what I thought was a really sweet side theme in this was the bit where Peter Parker's walking along the street and he realizes that all of the technology he's been creating for Horizon Labs has been being like used in like earphones and cycle helmets and stuff like that. And the scientific stuff he's doing is actually having an impact on the world around him. And this post was saying that's quite unusual because, like, Reed Richards, in theory, everything Reed Richards has been doing has been sort of open source or being like spread out to people. But actually, the Marvel Universe isn't that. You don't really see any impact it's having. But what it didn't say in the post, but I just thought while you were talking about it though, is we're also kind of seeing. In Dr. Ock's plan, we're kind of seeing a scientist, albeit a mad one, in this universe, also sort of suggest, at least at this point, suggesting he's going to have an impact on it. And the whole discussion towards the end of the comic ends up being about, like, well, you know, he's trying to do something useful with his skills. What sort of impact will that have, and should we let him? Sort of thing. So the thing I think is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really good.
I might be overstating it. Is it fair to say at the moment, kind of Slott's runs is pretty much as close to perfect as?
Oh, it's brilliant.
Yeah,
it's really, really good. The only problem I have with it, I kind of suggest. Well, it's not really a problem I have with it, but one thing I thought I'd done this week was taken all but one book off my standing order that's over $3, and that's Conan, which is $3.50, which I've kept on there. Mm-hmm. Everything else I've been really strict with myself on. I had one of my regular culls. So there are some books that I've basically decided I'm going to have to wait until that comes out in trade now. Because you know you're not getting quite that kick from each issue that you know that you want to read it, but you're happy to wait and read it all at once. And I thought I'd culled almost everything, but I'm not going to cull The Amazing Spider-Man.
But you've made a conscious decision.
Yeah,
that it's good enough.
It might be
the
exception in this particular case. I don't think Marvel should be charging $3.99 for it. I think they know they're going to set. I think. It's very cynical on their part because it doesn't have any more in it than most of the other comics. I'm guessing, I don't know how writers and artists get paid, but it's like, is it bi-weekly as well at the moment?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a cynical move. They know it's going to sell loads, so they're using it. And if they're using that to subsidise really inventive other stuff, that's fine, but I'm not sure that's why they're doing it. So it's kind of... But I loved it. I really liked it. I really love it.
Maybe they're using that to subsidise the cut on the top rate of income tax.
Maybe that's what it is.
The wankers.
Worth mentioning, 2000 AD this week, although everything else is ticking along quite nicely, Zorcer of Zilk started this week by Brendan McCarthy and Al Ewing. I think Brendan McCarthy wrote and drew it, and Al Ewing has helped out a bit with the writing. Really weird, beautifully drawn.
The cover pops, like, doesn't it?
And the art inside is fully painted.
Why
in
did
it.
I edit lovely. Myself?
I don't know. It looks like Skittles.
But it does look a bit like Skittles. It's really, really weird, and I'm not entirely sure about it yet, but that's probably not a bad thing. It's very interesting.
Still,
have you read it yet?
Still suffering from a massive lack of Lee Gallagher, in my opinion.
Yeah. Every story? Oh, you mean the magazine itself?
Yeah. Mm. I would like... do you remember Burt Reynolds in Playgirl?
No.
The only thing that's ever going to make me... do you remember Ron Jeremy in Playgirl?
No.
Do you remember any naked men in Playgirl?
I never read Playgirl. Is it a magazine?
Come on.
I might have read some articles. No, I don't. I don't know.
I used to get it for the articles.
What's Playgirl?
It's the female version of Playboy. Or the male version of Playboy.
Do you remember analog porn?
He means magazines. He's just being very posh.
Oh.
When people used to buy magazines with naked people in instead of getting it for free on the internet.
I won't be happy until every edition of 2000 AD comes with a big fold-out of a naked Lee Gallagher. With nothing but his hat.
Another thing
on his head, not on his penis.
Another thing we were talking about in our office today, specifically it was one of my colleagues, Dommy, who raised it, is the Nokia apparently are patenting tattoo. You can get RFID things, but tattoos that vibrate when your phone goes off.
Yeah.
And I think that could really like help a lot of relationships along. If you had them next to like erogenous zones, then every time, and you set it so that you only got a thingy, a buzz, whenever a particular person called you, then you could train yourself to have a Pavlovian response of arousal every time you heard your partner's voice or something.
I've got tattoos, and both of those react to different things.
Do they?
I've got a tattoo of my favourite football team that swells with pride every time we win 5 points clear at the top of the table with 8 games to go.
What does it do if you lose, though?
Nothing. But I've got...
It doesn't resonate with humiliation.
No, because it's, you know, I love my football team. And I've got a tattoo, so I probably quite like them.
Oh, so this is like metaphorical.
Yeah. No, literally. Yeah. And I've got a... Star Wars tattoo. Every time I watch episode 1, it actually tries to burrow into my skin and throttle me, which is interesting.
Literally, that's a word I should have used when I was doing my apprentice thing at the beginning.
Or blatantly obvious.
I really dropped the ball on that.
You did.
I'm sorry.
As the Alpha Viking, I'm going to cut your head
off. I'm like at the bottom of the food chain, like a shark.
Like a shark.
Stephen King and Joe Hill's Road Rage. Written by Chris Ryle with art by I can't remember his name, Nelson Daniel. Really good. Finishes the story started in the first issue, and next month we are on to their version of the story. What was it called? Steven Spielberg film The Duel. They're adapting the story that was based on. So I'm going to hang on to this, even though that's $3.99 from IDW. I am going to hang on to that one just until the end of this 4-issue run.
Sir, I say big fat liar.
I will.
Okay. No, but about the $3.99
I can't remember what it was I dropped. Well, I'm not going to say because it's negative. Okay. Final issue of Heart by Blair Butler and Kevin Mellon. 4-part story, $2.99 from Image. It's about mixed martial arts. No, not mixed martial arts. Mixed, because it's boxing and stuff as well, isn't it? It's basically about extreme fighters. I can't remember what they're called. What the sport's called? MMO. I don't know. But it's a really good four part. I can't remember.
You mean UFC?
No. Well, I don't know if he's in the UFC, but there's a word for the sport. There's a name for the sport. Maybe it is mixed martial arts.
No, it is MMO. I think.
Oh.
MMA, isn't it?
Yeah, mixed martial arts. Anyway, it's about a character who, and I wasn't really sure how this was going to pan out, although it started to become a bit clearer in the third issue, whether it was going to be like a Rocky-style story or something else. A really good 4-part story, I suspect, completely self-contained. Going to be well worth buying when it comes out in trade. It's basically about the rise and fall of a like normal white collar guy. Is that right? White collar? What is it? Who is it who works in offices?
White collar.
Yeah, a white collar guy who ends up becoming one of these fighters and just seeing how he reacts to that emotionally and stuff. There's actually a lot more Fight Club in this than there is Rocky when it comes to it. Without all of the like ridiculous narrative trickery, the whole side of Fight Club that's all about feeling alive when you're like busting heads sort of thing and getting busted is in there. It's really, really good. It's quite a sad story and quite a uplifting story as well. It's really good. Prophet 23 things really start kicking off in this issue by Brandon Graham and...
the person that does art.
Simon Roy. I was looking in the wrong place.
Brandon
Graham and Simon Roy. I don't mean things have really started kicking off, but we're starting to get a sense of why this weird guy has ended up on this weird planet. And again, loads of amazing ideas in that comic. Really, really good. And the final thing I want to talk about very briefly is Marvel's John Carter, The Gods of Mars, part one of a 5-part series.
Strange, isn't it?
$2.99. Well, I think, interestingly, well, I mean, they are Disney, I suppose, so it does make sense that they do one. They might already have done the first story anyway.
I thought Dynamite were publishing A Princess of Mars.
Oh, I don't know. Books. Possibly.
I'm really confused now.
But what I bought this because of the film, because I kind of wanted to see what happened. I looked at the first couple. At first, I thought it's going to be a little bit of it's a little bit of a cash in.
Yeah.
But I looked at the first couple of pages and thought, oh, but it's picking up after the events of the film. So I was quite interested to see what's going on in there as well. But actually, I think it's based on the book following either the second or the third book in the series. And it fits more in style. It fits a lot more with Marvel's literary adaptations that they've been doing recently. And unlike most tie-ins, which I'm sure we'll be talking about a little bit later on, they haven't just gone for the quickest, cheapest artist they could find, or gone with a writer who can get the job done. I've not heard of Sam Humphries, who wrote it before, but it's written really well. It's a really sort of, it doesn't feel like I'm reading an adaptation. It feels like I'm reading the first part of a story, which isn't always the case. With art by Ramon Perez, who I'm sure I've seen in stuff before, but whose art in this looks like the Fabio Moon and Gabriel Barr.
He's also a comic twartist.
Is he?
You know the website?
Comic Twart, is he on there?
He's a twartist.
Ah. His art is absolutely beautiful. In some places it's really realistic. There are inserts featuring Edgar Rice Burroughs reading about the story, which is the first real sign that it diverges from the film, because the film does something different with Edgar Rice Burroughs, and that's done in a really nice sepia painted style.
Yeah.
But when they're on Mars, it looks much like
how you'd imagine Mars to look like, doesn't it?
And the colour palette is love. I mean, the colour artist is Jordi Belair. Again, I don't recognise the name, but the colours really pop. And you're right, the colour palette when they're on Mars is very similar to the film, actually. But then that's because the film goes with the obvious. There's lots of reds and blues and.
Yeah.
It's a really good looking book and it's really fun, and I don't think you don't need to have really any experience of the film or the books to really appreciate it, I think.
Yeah.
It's just really good, straight up science fiction, science fantasy action. Really good.
It looks really good.
I like it. And it is surprising how, I mean, Marvel have been getting really interesting artists on their literary adaptations anyway. I haven't bought any of them, but I do flick through them because they've been doing lots of the prototype chick lit books, like the Jane Austen books. They've been doing that sort of stuff. I think, I don't know if they did Pride and Prejudice, but they've definitely done some of them. And they've been getting really unusual, quite cartoony artists on them, as well as doing the Wizard of Oz. They've been doing the Oz books as well. They haven't been getting the sorts of artists you'd expect on them.
Yeah,
exactly. Mm. So they've been kind of... They could just knock these out, but they've been doing a really good job. And the cover's beautiful.
It's paying off, yeah.
It's kind of... The cover is halfway like Frank Frazetta or the old paperback covers. I think most of which were done by Frank Frazetta, but it's also got that quirky little... I don't know if Perez did the cover as well, but it's got that quirky little slightly cartoony look to it. Yeah, doesn't say who did the cover. Lovely. Really, really nice. I liked it a lot.
Cool.
So, Jane. Yes. What did you get this week?
This week I got issue 7 of Batman, written by Scott Snyder, art by Greg Capello, and Jonathan Galapian does something on it.
Scott Snyder?
Yeah.
Do I know that name?
No, he's a new up-and-comer. You'll see him everywhere, though. He's going places. now I feel really bad, because I thought it'd be just at the front that told me what he did.
Galapian.
Galapian, yeah, no, I know his name, just what he does. Colours.
He proofreads it for everyone.
Does he proofread it?
It'd
for everyone?
It'd be on the last page. If you've it's probably colourist.
Do I get
page.
A.
They never put the letterer on the front,
well,
so
no,
he's probably colourist.
Colourist as well. No,
you've gone past it. You keep going past it. I tell you, I swear to God, I'm going to make you eat that book in a minute.
Okay, I'm
look,
quite
can
hungry.
I find it for you? Because no. I saw it. Oh, sweet Lord.
This is great radio,
this is going
you guys.
Well. Yeah, totally.
It's fine. Anyways. Batman is amazing.
You're using the same tactic to review that the woman on The Apprentice last night used in the boardroom.
Yeah!
Full mental collapse.
Why?
Just, I've seen it. Let me do it.
Well, then, no. We'll just never know.
Oh, fucking hell.
Did you think she was much nicer when you saw her talking to Dara O'Brien afterwards and she was actually hotter as well?
What, no, Jane? She's annoying. I didn't watch that part.
They all seem nicer on Dark when they're talking to Dara O'Brien. He brings out the best in them.
It's written right there at the top of the goddamn
well.
Page.
Oh, right. Batman's awesome, buy
don't
it.
Hit with your
I'm
book,
not going to hit you with my
book.
You look like you're
don't hit him with your rhythm stick
story's
either.
Story's getting really, really good. Lots of really creepy, weird things happening. And Batman is absolutely batshit insane, delirious with everything that's happened to him.
How many issues now has he been Batman batshit insane?
Batman
insane.
Batman batshit insane. This is issue 3 or 4.
Oh.
But he's been a bit crazy.
And there's a scene that plays out in that issue that also plays out from the other person's perspective in Nightwing this month.
Oh, are you reading Nightwing?
Okay.
No.
Oh. So really, I mean, we're how many issues in? 7 issues in. Strictly speaking, the detective, you could look at Detective Comics as the book where Batman's just Batman. And this could be the mental Batman. It could just be called Batshit Batman.
Batshit Insane Batman. Yeah, probably.
But you're enjoying it, though.
Yes, I'm really enjoying it. The art's amazing. I really love Scott Snyder's writing as well. And I will continue to buy it, even though the price is going to creep up on this one, isn't it?
I don't know.
$2.99 at the moment, but I think it's going to be a $3.
Oh, I doubt it. DC have drawn the line at $2.99.
They really haven't.
So.
They dropped the slogan, so they're not dedicated to it anymore. I've got a feeling that a lot of I think we had the Bat titles all going up in price. So
it's the practicalities of the modern business, the modern
well,
workplace.
Which would be great if I wasn't picking up 3 of them. So
yeah,
one of them's going to have to go. What?
We should do a vote
James
on the site.
Pensive.
Which book should Jane drop?
Oh, I already know.
What are the 3 you're picking up?
Batman, Batgirl, and Batwoman.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know which one you're going to drop?
Yeah, I do know which one.
Yeah, I think I do too.
Yeah. It's
Free
yeah.
the Amy Reader Hadley one.
Oh, for one issue, I got it. For one. Yes, it's really, really good. Story continues. Some really nice history in there. I accidentally just looked at your crotch there because I didn't even just notice that.
It's beautiful.
You're wiggling.
Was I?
Yeah, I don't
think. I don't think that was me,
no.
To be honest. That wasn't. I wasn't doing it on purpose.
You were wiggling. It's in your body was wiggling, and that.
Oh.
It's not doing anything now.
Oh, now.
See, Batman is spreading.
Jane's gone. Batman,
so,
bat.
So is Nick.
I feel a bit violated.
I think we all do.
Right.
Please talk about another comic book.
The other comic book I'm going to talk about is Near Death, issue 6 on Image Comics at $2.99.
Tell us about the creative team, Jane.
The story is by...
damn.
Jane Fairbearer, art by Simone...
Giggly-imi.
That one, in colour by Ron Reilly.
I didn't expect it to be on the inside cover. I'm quite disappointed.
Start of a new arc.
It is. It's really good. I love the character. This whole stick that he's got going on where he has a near-death experience, so he sees where he's going to go, and to redeem himself, he decides that he's going to stop other people from being killed, from contract kills. The whole element of, well, this is still a selfish act in any religion's mind, so you're still going to go to the place you're going to go to. But it's nice that you're doing this because it makes a really great story. He is in LA, and it's a different, completely different nature of business going on there. Word of what he does has got around very quickly, and lots of people are interested in hiring him to help them out. And in this one, the beginning first up, brilliant, brilliant story. A bit of not double crossing, but unexpectedness. And I think he's learning that what he's doing has got noticed, and people may take advantage of it. So yeah, really good story. Really love the artwork as well. It's excellent, and
it's a great setup. It's like a 1980s TV series.
Yeah, it is, but not cheesy.
But in comics, well, The Equalizer wasn't cheesy.
Nor was Crazy Like a Fox.
That was a bit cheesy. Yeah, but The Equalizer wasn't. And that's kind of what it's most like. I think there was an essay in the back of one of them where he talked about two shows that were a heavy influence on it, and The Equalizer was one of them. Jay Ferber writes for TV, though, and he writes Ringer, which is one of the craziest shows around. It's just nuts. Sarah Michelle Gellar plays two twin sisters. And I'm not going to go into detail because I explained it to my colleagues in the week and they all looked at me like I was crazy. All of them.
So last decade.
So last decade. Yeah. That's it. She's done.
Was Alex one of the colleagues you explained it to?
Yeah, he didn't.
Hi, Alex.
And I think Dommy was there as
well. Hi, Dommy.
Hello, new friend of Nick's.
And then other people.
Hi, hello, other people.
But yeah, Ringer's really good, but it's really high concept. And if anything, it's far less grounded than Near Death.
It's brilliant.
I like it, but I've moved to trades, which I know makes me part of the problem, but I was looking at my comics and I just thought, I'm getting too many comics.
That's interesting.
There are too many comics.
It will collect brilliantly in trades, really will. Really
well, there's good. A trade of the first...
Yeah, the first one came out quite quickly.
So the first five issues.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm going to do that. It does work quite well as episodic month-on-month stuff, though, doesn't it?
I feel really a bit cheated that it's genuinely had two books this week because I was particularly enjoying your reviews this week.
You got a real kick out of what I am going to call Credit Gate.
Yeah, she went mental. It was brilliant. I like it when Jane goes mental. It's funny.
You were both grappling for the comic at one point.
Well, she was annoying me, Nick.
Okay.
I annoyed you.
That's it.
Makes a nice change.
That's it for the comics, I think, this week, isn't it? Let's just.
Not
for the whole show.
Awkward middle bit that used to be from a newsroom, but the newsroom.
Yeah, that got a bit too much.
Newsroom's being redecorated at the moment.
Yeah, we might do that when I get my lazy ass mojo back again.
Your mojo? Where is it?
I don't know. I had my mojo working, but it wouldn't work on you.
Oh. That's from a song.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's going down? What have we got to talk about?
Shall we talk about Mike Giorgio?
Mr. Giorgio.
Am I doing this?
Yeah, I think so.
Mike emailed us. I'm the person, I think.
Oh, no. Okay, yeah. The next issue, I don't know which issue of Elemental Micah it is, but he's got a crowd scene coming up.
Yeah.
And he needs... It's the first time he's ever drawn a crowd scene. He wants... he wants people to draw further crowd scenes. So he wants you, the listener, and
when
other people
you know.
When you
say
he
wants people to draw, he wants pictures of people to
he
draw.
He wants to draw people.
Yeah.
Send him your pictures.
He wants you to be an extra in your comic, basically. Yeah, I'll post a link. We posted about it on Tumblr. I'll post a link to that and to Elemental Micah. But yeah, there are a few details there about if it isn't easy, if he isn't already friends with you on Facebook. He's going to need pictures of you, obviously, but spread the word around to your non-comic-y friends or whatever, or your non-listenery friends, if you like, as well,
and
David.
And they could be an Elemental Micah.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yes.
Micah.
Are you going to send a picture, James? I have lots of pictures. Actually, I'm just going to send pictures of you to
him. He knows what we look like.
I know, but he would need photo reference.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know what his time limit is for this. Is he going to be coming down for the... That's a different thing.
This is probably a conversation that we can have maybe when we're not recording.
What's the date for today? What's the date today?
Today's the 22nd
okay.
of March.
2012.
As far as audience participation goes as well, and there's one more day.
Pre-apocalypse.
There's one more day to put in a suggestion either via Twitter or in the comments for the appropriate post for the Twitter comic, isn't
correct.
It? It's to the 23rd.
I made a contribution to that on momcomics.com, and as someone quite rightly pointed out to me, yeah, that's more characters than you can have in a tweet, you twat.
Yeah, you twat.
But it's a brilliant idea, so I don't care, I stick by it. And then you'll be able to, after that, you'll be able to vote on which is your
yes.
favourite
yep.
before David Made of Wind comes down and does the mega 24-hour Twitter comic marathon super special thing.
Yeah.
On Good Friday, the, yeah. ni- the ninth, no, the
6th.
6th of April.
But again, I'll put it in the show notes. Tell your friends.
Tell you
everyone. Mom. The one thing, so anytime anyone knows that I do a bit of writing, there are lots of people who seem to say, oh, I've got an idea for a story. Mm. If you're one of those people or you've got friends who are one of those people, mm. even if they don't read comics, send mm. them to the site.
Yeah, aware of them.
Yeah, we're not fussy. Blatantly.
Yeah.
There's one other thing.
Yes, I have. I have something I'd like to talk about. I discovered in the small world of geeks, there are more geeks than I thought there were.
Thought you had something in 89.
Oh,
James,
right.
Sorry.
You just really, you, that really put me off. I didn't.
You don't have anything.
I just said a whole load of things.
Nose.
I don't know what I just said.
You yeah. said that in the small world of geeks, you were about to say how you met the person.
Oh,
did
yes.
The thing
there's, that... there's yeah, someone I know who turns out is a geek. There you go.
Can you put a romantic bed under this?
No, I don't think I'm going to do that,
okay.
James.
My
computer's broken. I'll be lucky if I get this edited.
It's a love story underneath.
Anyway, and yes, he's a geek. I'm a geek. He sent me an email. His email. It was a very... You guys
it's like Simon Bates' arch tune. And then he died.
Anyway...
He's got a website.
He has a website. He's doing something. He's doing a very amazing task that I don't think any of us could do. He's going to read. He's been set a challenge to read a graphic novel a day
for a year.
So his friend set him a challenge to do this, and he decided the only way. Well, one of the ways to motivate him to do this is to set up a website and blog about it. Obviously, he needs someone to write about it, so it will get the momentum to do it and keep him doing it. The website is www.365graphicnovels.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll put
I'll put it in the show
yeah.
notes.
He's doing some really good, concise micro reviews on there, and obviously talking a bit about his progress, and it's quite a challenge, so I can barely have time to read anything other than...
You're a very busy lady, though, Jane.
Well, it's mostly Now Magazine with you.
The cooking instructions of a pizza or something.
Yeah, Now Magazine you like, don't you, bless you, Heat, Celebrity Mogo, that sort of thing.
Playgirl.
That's Playgirl, Bunny Weekly, that's the sort of thing you like.
How you know me.
But at some point he's probably going to run out of... books off his own back, so he will take suggestions.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he will.
No, he
is
was.
He not
I mean, you can recommend. Well, that was more for us. But okay. Yeah, if you want to leave a comment on his website and recommend something that you'd like to see him review, he has collected over the 2 years. He's been working towards. Well, he's been collecting a lot of trades. He doesn't pick up monthly comics, so he has over 200. So yeah. And as he goes along, he's going to be trading them in for new ones and stuff. So there's a lot of stuff he's going to be covering, and what he's done so far is really good. So. You should read it, leave him comments and suggestions, and if he doesn't like it,
he should do the Israel trilogy.
Suggest it to him.
Yeah, everyone should read these three books together. You should read How to Understand Israel in 60 Days or Less, Exit Wounds and Our Cancer Year by R.V. Pekar as a...
it wasn't Our Cancer Year, another one, wasn't it?
No, it was Our Cancer Year, because that is his partner goes to do the things about...
Oh, right, okay, because Harvey Pekar did a book about... Yeah, anyway, okay.
Macedonia.
That's a different book.
Oh, that was
yeah,
a different
Macedonia.
Book.
That's what you're thinking of.
Different country as well.
Well, I don't know.
Oy
vey. He got sort of there. It was out of this country,
yeah.
So...
James, no one needs to read those books. They can just go back and listen to your spotlights. They were wonderful.
Insightful.
Insightful.
Yeah. My spotlights always are. But they're always well prepared and considered.
There's a bit of foreshadowing going on there.
Yeah.
Yes, it's worth checking out, and I'll put it in the show notes, and you can go look at it, and it's good.
You're good. Has the Queen of Southampton approved his website?
Who is the Queen of Southampton this week?
I don't know who it is this week. I think it might be John Mom.
No, I think it's that lady we go past on the mobility scooter. We go past her quite a lot.
I don't know why I'm laughing, because being on a mobility scooter is not funny. Well, you've taken me down a dark alley.
She looks like she's jousting, which is funny.
She isn't the lady who went past me coughing really loudly into the air above her, dispersing her cold everywhere on a mobility scooter.
I don't think the microphone's on the ceiling, Nick.
No, I'm just...
Telling me off for my microphone craft, and he's looking at the ceiling.
What James means by telling him off is he suggested that when he's doing stuff that isn't that helpful, I should point it out to him. But then whenever I do it, he just stops completely like a deer in the headlights. So when he goes silent for a second, it's normally because we've tried really subtly to...
You should have flashcards, perhaps, just saying. Cause
they would still do it.
They're quite common. Just put it up in his
face. That involved reading it. It'd take him a few seconds to read it.
I can't multitask. See, you were right up in my grill and I can't... Stop it!
Stop that. Stop doing that. That thing you're doing. Stop it.
Can't got itchy nose.
Hello, monkeys. Kiha here of Dissecting Worlds. Recording on the Mersey Riviera. Almost literally, as I stand beneath the majestic sights of the Three Graces, mine Liverpool's pierhead. And it's not too windy. I'm not going to review a comic this week, I'm just going to have a little impromptu rant. My impromptu rant is, why don't comic creators love a sailor? Or, where's all the brine? It's occurred to me, I've been reading a lot of war comics, as you may well have picked up on. None of them appear to be naval war comics. The closest I've got, I think, is a Garth Ennis story where there was a catapult-launched hurricane launched from a merchant marine vessel. And then I've been thinking about that more generally. Certainly in British comics, we're a maritime nation. Our empire was built on trade, our economy was built on trade, and that trade was sea trade. Yet, there don't seem to be any comics covering that. Now, is this a lack of imagination? Is this because it's quite hard to dramatise action in the confines of a naval vessel? I mean, it doesn't have to be contemporary. You could do stuff with, Hornblower type stuff, or Aubrey and O'Brien, Patrick O'Brien stuff, which would be very dramatic and compelling. And sure, you've got Red Seas in the much loved 2000 AD, but Red Seas is. Took a turn for the fantastic as soon as it possibly could, and there's not that much ship-on-ship action. So I don't understand why this is. Even when you get into science fiction, very little is set ship-based. It was spaceships, admittedly, but similar terminology, similar problems, similar challenges, crew getting on, you get character drama from stuff like that. And it doesn't have to be military. I mean, obviously, anybody who's had misfortune to follow me on Twitter is well aware of my love of the Aeneid line. But there's a lot of drama in these merchant captains who went out and, shaped the modern world. And if it can happen in the real world, why can't that be a story worth telling in a fictional universe? I mean, for God's sake, has Captain America ever beaten up any Somali pirates? I don't know. It just seems very strange that there's this whole realm of human existence, and I'd be interested in hearing if you guys feel the same, being Southampton-based. That just seems to be ignored. I'm thinking, I've seen some marine scenes in an issue of Black Cloak, but it's very few and far between. The odd commando issue dealing with motor torpedo boats and the like, but it's criminally underlooked. So why is that? And is it worth doing something about? Anyway, rant of the week over. This is Kiha from Dissecting Worlds with a chorus of seagulls in the background. Be taking care. Bye-bye.
James, can you do the spotlight? It was going to be my turn, but my computer broke.
So, this is... I think this week's spotlight, it gives more of an insight into me than I really am prepared normally on the It just
Normally you're really withholding.
You text me at about 10:45 last night and said, can you do the spotlight? Because I'm busy fucking about my stupid computer.
Stupid fucking computer.
And I don't prepare for the podcast in enough time. I don't really dedicate myself to the podcast like you and Jane do.
Yeah, that's what I said in my tweet, in my text.
Well, there was an unwritten subtext there. And you said, have you read anything? I said, well, it just so happens, Nick, I've read something this week I could talk about. And this week I was lent a book called Star Trek Countdown. I quite regularly like to run through my box set of the Star Trek movies, which I'm obsessed by. Normally starts with me going, oh, I really fancy watching Star Trek The Motion Picture, which is the greatest science fiction film of all time. And I get really baked for that. And I enjoy it. It's a nice thing I like to do.
You do some baking.
I do some baking. I swear to God, if you're so inclined to do baking, I recommend really doing a lot of baking and then watching Star Trek The Motion Picture. Those two things really, really complement each other.
Okay.
So I just finished reading watching Star Trek Nemesis, which I think actually is a better movie than it's given credit for. Much better than Insurrection, which frankly is just a great big soggy shit of a film.
It probably couldn't be worse than it's given credit for.
Insurrection. It's
no, either or. Nemesis, I don't think
Nemesis
people say
is
very...
all right. It's a bit wishy-washy at times, but I think it works all right. Shinzon's a bit shit, but apart from that, it's all right. Anyway, Star Trek Countdown provides a bridge between The Next Generation and the reboot that we saw of
Lionel T. Abraham.
Rebooted Star Trek.
Yes. Well, that's a bit weird because, strictly speaking, it occurs before it. But okay, I'll bite.
Well, it does. But as we know, Spock of the original Star Trek universe travels back through a black hole created to stop this super sun meganova engulfing the whole galaxy.
That's the thing that happens.
He follows Nero through. And then Nero and Spock reset the whole Star Trek universe so they can reboot the franchise.
New actors.
Edward T. Abrahams can go on and make several very enjoyable, but frankly unsatisfying on rewatching movies.
Because I knew this was a crossover.
Yeah.
But what you seem to be telling me is that it's a crossover between two separate Star Trek franchises, not between Star Trek and the early afternoon Channel 4 quiz show.
Correct.
That's a shame.
Nothing to do with Richard White. I'm very disappointed that, to be honest with you, Richard Whiteley could have turned up at some point.
There's not a bridge between Richard Whiteley and Nick from The Apprentice, who I think does it now.
No, but shit, you're not. I'm going to go and outline a plot for how we do that.
There's
tonight.
Got to be some.
You
money
and me can
it.
Write it. We can get David Wynne and Mike Giorgio to collaborate with some art or something.
Yeah.
And George Beedham, he can do the colours. Go to George Beedham's site and,
you know.
The Kickstarter.
Money, yeah,
Indiegogo.
Indiegogo.
Yeah.
Kickstart his Indiegogo project. That's
I'm
going to
do
I
it.
Meant.
It's payday next week. I'm doing it. I'm having a dollop. Anyway, the story is by Roberto Orci and Alex Kurtzman, who I think was something to do with the film. Writers are Mike Johnson and Tim Jones, and the artist on this was David Nasina. I think for the writers and the artist, you know, often this is a tie-in to a movie franchise that has an awful lot of story to tell in six issues.
Mm-hmm.
Too much story to tell in six issues. But I think it was a labour of love for the writers and the artist. There's a little bit of blurb in the back, and they are big Star Trek fans. And they do a good job with the massive story they are asked to tell. And basically, it introduces us to Nero, who is just a humble miner who gets involved in some machinations with regard to the Romulan Senate that meets with the Federation ambassador, who is Spock, who now lives on Romulus.
Right.
Much to the consternation of his Vulcan brethren.
Hmm.
Anyway, Spock has realised that this supernova going super loopy is gonna destroy Romulus, and he's saying, "Well, look, here's the deal, guys. I know that back in Vulcan we can create this stuff called red matter. If I use the red matter to create a black hole, it'll swallow the explosion, Romulus will be safe, bish bash bosh, we're all alright. Okay? And the Romulans are going, I don't know. I'm not sure. And there's a bit of procrastination. But eventually Spock sets off, goes to Vulcan, meets Picard, who apparently is an ambassador or something there now.
Okay.
Okay, which is fine.
That is not impossible to believe.
But we know he doesn't get back in time. Romulus explodes. Nero goes nuts. And then the film starts.
Yes.
Okay. Nero has to go on somewhat of a journey in this book. I don't think six issues was quite enough for his character, who is very benign, very very pleasant, very civic-minded individual. At the beginning of the book, witnesses the destruction of his home planet, admittedly with his pregnant wife on it.
Yeah.
And then decides that, despite the fact there's the rest of the Romulan Empire, their people have not been wiped out by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
There's other planets. He decides the only course of action for him is genocide.
Yeah, you see, that's a bit much.
He goes, oh, my wife's dead. I'm going to go and kill an entire planet of people.
Sometimes something just snaps, James.
Yeah. Well, yeah, sometimes we all fall down.
Maybe he got infected by Parallax.
Oh, see, what's now, that? Funny they'd mention that in the
from
book.
The DC. Basically, yeah. What happened was Green Lantern Hal Jordan saw his city get destroyed and then went mad and became super powerful and did loads of bad stuff. But then later on, they decided that he didn't really get twisted up by that. He was infected by an alien or something that done
is
it.
Is this like Red Dwarf, where they have the octopus? I can't remember what it's called now.
No, this is good.
No.
James, it's Star Trek.
No, I like Red Dwarf. I like Star Trek too.
I'm not a fan of either.
Yeah,
that's not true. I really like the first series of Red Dwarf, and a lot of Star Trek. There are bits.
I love the films. I'm cuckoo for them.
You're cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. We don't need to go into which films we like. We've probably done that before. Go on, carry on.
So we get to find out some interesting tidbits that appear in the movie. We find out that the ship that Nero has a kind of Borg technology attached to it that makes it so super wacky when it gets to fight James T. Kirk's dad, or Thor, as I like to call him, at the beginning.
Is it him?
Yeah.
All right.
And we get to see Captain Data in charge of the Enterprise, and that's very nice. He's not brilliantly served, to be perfectly honest with it. And again, we get to meet Picard, we get to meet Data, we get to meet Geordi, who it turns out, Geordi LaForge, who it turns out invented the mental ship that we see Spock in, conveniently.
So, I like Geordi LaForge.
So Geordi LaForge can be in it. We also get to see Worf, who I felt a bit uncomfortable. They could have given him a really good warrior's death in this book, and they kind of bottle it.
Does he die?
No, they bottle it, and he could have, which is an awful shame. There's a lot of potential. There's some really interesting stuff. It's really interesting to see the background, the backstory of the new Star Trek film, which, despite my snarkiness, I do enjoy. I think it is a little bit all dress and no knickers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All blouse and no knickers. You know what I mean? A little bit. But it doesn't have the rewatch value of like the original motion picture or Wrath of Khan.
Yeah.
But it's nice to see where the Next Generation characters went after the final film. And obviously B4 has become Data, because obviously we know Data dies at the end of Nemesis. So his slightly simple brother becomes Data. And, you know, there's some really interesting ideas. There's some really interesting action. I don't think it needed Data. I don't think it needed Worf. I don't think it needed LaForge. Picard works okay in it. But I think, unfortunately, the other characters aren't brilliantly served.
They're put in so they can say they were put in.
Yeah, and it kind of feels like they're shoehorned into it, which makes it unsatisfying. As I said, the story needs character progression. None of the characters have progressed in a particularly satisfying way, and unfortunately, a lot of the good ideas kind of feel like they go to waste a little bit.
Mm.
It's very, I mean, it's nicely done. The art is nice. You know, it's very much. I don't know what I want to say. I don't want to insult it because it's good art, but
it's perfectly functional.
It's perfectly functional. It does not set the world alight, however.
But it is competent.
Yeah, it is. I said competent to you earlier, and I said I do not want to say the word competent.
No, I'm saying it though. It's okay.
You've put your mouth in my words.
That's
actually what you did.
That's what I did. That's exactly what I did.
Having said all that, and it seems a bit in the mouth, I quite enjoyed it. And if you're a big Star Trek geek, I was going to say like I am, but I'm not really a proper Star Trek geek because it's only really the films I dig, and I've never been a big fan of the series. It's well worth the read.
It's nice to read something completely like for the fan of it. Yeah. Sometimes, isn't it?
It was a fun hour
that I remember really enjoying the two Star Trek X-Men crossovers that they did. There's one where they cross over with the Kirk era lot, and then there's one where they cross over with
next gen,
and it's really good. But the thing that I realised watching, like reading that for the first time, was that there are two Dr. McCoys in them, and they make a big thing about it because Hank McCoy is a doctor, isn't he?
Of course.
So as
a kid, I mean, one of my favourite books, I used to read it over and over again, was the Marvel adaptation of Final Frontier, the Shatner directed car crash of
it was during a writer's strike though, wasn't it?
Of a fifth movie, I think it must have been. Do you know my favorite? Sorry, I'm just going to talk about it. This is the I love in the commentary. My favorite part of Star Trek V, the Final Frontier, and Shatner talks about there's a establishing shot of the Enterprise where it's set against the moon, and Shatner says, we were talking to the people who were doing the special effects, and this is the test shot they sent us. We liked it so much, we kept it. It's like, dude, it was the test shot, right? Yeah. That's just to show you what they could do. You could have asked for so much more.
Yeah.
Just a simple establishing shot of the Enterprise in front of the moon. Oh, genius.
Oh, bless him. He didn't really know what was going on.
Oh, it's a cracking commentary, but such a shit film.
The commentary's better than the film.
Oh, God, yeah.
Mind you, I feel a bit
Shatner's
like...
Shatner's a genius, though.
I feel a bit that way about most of the Kevin Smith commentaries, to be honest. So, that was brilliant. Thanks, James, for that review of a book that you clearly didn't love.
I didn't love it, but it is. Yeah, it was fun.
It's my fault. I feel responsible somehow.
Yeah, it was. The timing was funny because the book amused me as much as anything. So it was quite nice to be able to spotlight it.
That's cool. Do we have any other stuff to cover on the show? Do we?
I received my copy of the Beginnings anthology this week.
Oh, has that come around already?
Mm-hmm.
Bloody blimey, all the way from Australia.
Yeah, I came from Australia. I had it that
And lovely
really
Ryan.
That was awful. Yeah, and I haven't read it completely. I did read his story. Oh, it was gut-wrenching. It was brilliant, though. Really good. Looks amazing. They must be so proud of what they've done. It looks excellent. So I'll be reading that.
I'm not going to
read.
Good for you, mates.
Yeah.
I'm not going to read any of Ryan K. Lindsay's stuff until he does his first Marvel event.
Yeah.
And then I'll read it.
And then you'll be like, do you remember me?
Yeah.
You can say what you like about it. He can't understand unless you do the accent.
All right, I'm not going to read nothing until he does his first Marvel, whatever I said earlier.
What
about
is
Marvel
that?
Marvel event crossover? I don't know. It's not Australian, is it?
I don't know. That's quite creepy. But you phoned people
Ned Kelly. Ned Kelly, the Next Generation, got arrested today, didn't he?
What's that?
Who?
That guy they've been trying to capture for 7 years in Australia.
Oh, yes.
Ned Kelly, Next Generation, isn't it?
That was something else, because it wasn't quite... These weren't quite middle bits, because they're just things that have happened. On the BBC News website...
Yes? Why are you doing that voice? What was that?
It's my Moira Stewart news
voice.
I love Moira Stewart's voice.
There was a lovely article about H.P. Lovecraft, because I think it's celebrating 75 years of his work or something. I can't remember now, but it was a good article, and
you read that's one of the things
Yeah,
which comic did he do?
Well, he influenced people in comics, like Alan Moore and things. It was just a nice...
She's right, he did. There's a lot of
comic creators on there that he'd influenced,
In the Mountains of Madness, or in the
You should read it, James. Actually, his self-loathing absolutely outdoes yours.
Trump's yours.
It really does. It's really interesting. Obviously, he did influence a lot of people.
What was an interesting article on there the other day about Warhammer 40k.
His racism doesn't outdo my loathing of you, though, James. I am big prejudiced against you. He was a bit of a racist, wasn't he, H.P. Lovecraft? Apparently.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Ooh, I didn't mention
but then
that,
everyone was back then. They're like old people. But in the olden days.
Especially Hergé.
It was just, I don't know much about H.P. Lovecraft, so it was interesting reading it. So, and people who do like him or don't like him should read it.
Yes.
If they want.
I'll try and find it and add it to the show notes.
Yeah.
I will do that if I remember.
Well, just put another random article from the BBC News website up there as well. I'm
trying
to be something
sorry.
About baked beans.
That is not very supportive, James.
Thanks, I hate you.
Yeah, I know, it's fine. Yeah.
It's the Stockholm thing. We've got to end it.
HP Hatecraft.
The only way out of Stockholm Syndrome is for both parties to die.
Can't just no one die?
Well, if you want to get rid of the Stockholm Syndrome... I think you're stuck with it.
Kill the maker. Doesn't that release
us? I think if we're going to ask everyone not to die, we're probably going to have to agree to have no more new people, though. So we're going to have to draw a line in the sand and say, well,
like Spider-Man did.
Did he? Yeah, of course.
He did. My wife is really angry with the back door. I'm sorry about that if you heard that, listener.
we should
hang on.
Are you going to Centre Parks?
Oh, no, that isn't... You're just rude, James. What are you guys planning this week? You doing anything?
Maybe. Depends on Scarlett's poorly tummy.
Oh, poor Scarlett's poorly tummy. I just kicked the...
Does it depend on Scarlett's... I think it depends on Scarlett's poorly tummy for you as well, doesn't it, unfortunately?
Oh. I think we're doing something. We might be helping my sister move at some point over the weekend. She lives in Cheltenham. That's miles away.
That is far.
Very nice.
She'll be schlepping up there. Oh, and on Saturday I might end up going to Portsmouth to try and fix my computer. Because that's where all the techies are, in Portsmouth.
Yeah,
when it's known for it.
When they're not kissing fish,
I don't understand.
He doesn't get it. It's not even just a football reference. It's just a Portsmouth reference.
Oh, okay. We probably shouldn't. We should leave it for after the pod. Okay, time to go then.
Yeah,
I think we should go.
Thank you for listening, listener.
Thank you for listening, listener. Oh, and thank you for the contributions. There are some contributions.
Contributions.
Thank you for the music.
Thank you for the
and
love.
Giving it to me.
And the hate and the stuff.
Leave a comment on iTunes.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Is this there better? No. Let's travel.
pervert.
Yeah. It's fun getting James in trouble. I need to tell you all about exciting. Oh no, I should. Oh yeah. Oh crap! I'm so.
What the
crap.
Hell is going on?
I know. My life is so disorganized at the moment.
What just happened?
My brain went. Oh, you need to tell these people things. So it comes up with all the relevant information for you to know.
Look, he's been doing the vanity Google.
No, but I just
search for Momcast. Yeah. Mom it comes comics. Up with it, but you have to search for Momcast first.
Mom Comics.
Is it just Mom? Oh, it is Mom Comics.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Does anyone do Google image searches for themselves? No.
I'm sorry, James.
No, it's not your fault.
We'll try and be more interesting.
No, it wasn't because you weren't interesting. I just faded out.
I wasn't being interesting.
Well, you weren't, but I mean, that's not, you know, unusual.
No escape from reality.
Caught in a landslide. That was the line before the one you just said. Open your eyes,